Right. Let's see, I think we're page 76. 76, we'll be on number 10 there. Concentration. Anybody need a handout? Didn't bring your book, need something to look at? You didn't bring your book? Oh, you're fine. Yes, anybody else? Good, excellent, excellent, good, good. Anyone? Oh, that's all right. As long as you're looking at that book at home at some point. You're still in your car? Yes? Can I get your key? I want to go get that book. Anybody else? You guys good? 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 All right. You need one? You got your book? Page 76 at the bottom there, number 10. 76. Understanding the Bible requires concentration. Now, we live in a pretty distracted day, don't we? What are some distractions that we have in life? Anybody? Just shout them out. Cell phones.
TV.
Just shout it out. Anxiety. That's a distraction from within, isn't it? Yeah. Wow. So I heard TV, cell phones, anxiety. What else?
Radio.
Family. I won't ask you to explain that one. But no, people are always tugging at us, aren't they? Tugging at us for this and for that. Yeah. A job can be a distraction.
Friends
can be, it can be a good thing and a bad thing sometimes, right? Yeah, jobs, definitely. Yes? Chores, yes. Yeah, that can be distracting, wanting to have a clean house and laundry needs done and food needs cooked and apple butter needs cooked, right? And all that. Yes. Well, yeah, if something like that comes in, if you got, 'tis the season for that, right?
Yeah.
Someone swiping your credit card or something or trying to steal, that could be a huge distraction. Settling an estate can be a distraction, right? It just takes time. It just takes effort. Church, by the way, it's something that's in our lives. We don't want it to be a distraction to us. But sometimes just all those things kind of do mount, right? And it kind of pulls us away. You know, you can get so busy trying to do good that you don't spend that time with the Lord that you need to. It distracts that, right? Yes? That's a good one. Didn't even think of that. Yeah. Our health can be a distraction, right? If we're in bad health. If we're in good health, we don't even think about our health, right? But if we have a hurting arm or you know, something else is going on, then that does. Even a stubbed toe, right? That can take attention. And so not only that, when we sit down to study our Bible, you can almost guarantee it that a million things are going to either pop into your mind or into your environment. And I had studied a little bit for this, and I was here this morning, and I was studying for this morning. And, man, my phone just kept, I had on silence, but it still buzzes, you know. And, I mean, one thing after another, just in thought, all that, bzz, like, I'm going to throw you in a minute, right? Across the room or in the toilet or something. Anyway, so yeah, distractions, but it takes concentration if we are going to be able to effectively study our Bibles. Amen? And so on this little section here of concentration, it doesn't give a whole lot here in reference to what we just talked about, but it does give us a thought on things. Who wants to read? We're just going to go ahead and read that first paragraph to start out. Nancy, you want to do that?
If you can't concentrate on the Bible, your study time will not be very profitable. It is so easy for the mind to wander as we read, and we must do whatever is necessary to keep our thoughts on the Scriptures, to hold the words of God in our hearts so that they bring forth good fruit. Not only do we live in a weak, fleshly body, called the body of this death in Romans 7:24, that gets tired and sick, and not only do we dwell in the world full of cares and troubles, but we have an aggressive spiritual enemy that seeks to hinder our progress. His name is Satan, meaning the adversary, the one who stands before us to resist us. Bible study is spiritual warfare.
That's right.
And we must do whatever it takes to win this war.
Amen. Look over at Luke. And the book of Luke, I believe Luke 14. Look at a couple thoughts here. And then that next little sentence says that there's some suggestions on how we can concentrate on the Word of God. And let me see something here. I think. Actually grabbed a wrong passage. I'm going to get that because this is a good one. Yeah, and this is a well-known passage. It's Mary and Martha, of course. Jesus came in and talking about distractions. All of us are prone to different distractions. Some of us can not be distracted by some things. Other people are. It's just how we're wired. But at the same time, we can't just blame that on us not being under control, right? So temperance is the character quality. Some would call that self-control. I would call that spirit control, right? Where you've been tempered, right? And if metal's not tempered, then it easily bends, right? Tempered metal is stronger, right? And so we want the Word of God to temper us, give us some strength, so that when things push against us, we don't bend, right? But that we're able to be strong. So who wants to read Luke 10, 38 through 42? I think Hannah, go ahead.
Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.
That's such an awesome passage. There's so much in there. Amen. So Jesus comes to visit, which quite the house guest. And Mary and Martha are there. And Mary just stops everything. Says, Jesus is here and sat at his feet and just listened, just communed there. Well, Mary or Martha realized, I got all kinds of things I got to get done. And it might be that she was trying to cook some food for him. Right? Who knows? We don't know, but we know that the Bible says she was cumbered about. Now, cumbered, we have many encumberments, things that occupy our attention and time. So she was cumbered about with much serving. So she was trying to serve probably Jesus. Right? Probably trying to serve her household. Making sure things are covered and all that. I don't know if you ladies, these are two ladies here, so in the story, so we can pick on the ladies, amen. But do you ever feel that pressure? Sounds like some of you do, amen. To serve, I got all these things to do in my house, right? And has your encumberment in service to your household and family and all that ever kept you from actually being able to sit down and engage in meaningful conversation with those that actually happen to be there? Has that ever caused you a little restriction there? A little problem? Yes?
You know, as women, I think
Nancy's raising her hand. She's saying, yes, that's me. Go ahead.
I think that we always think that our house isn't clean enough for someone to come in and have a conversation, no matter how clean it is.
Let me just say this. If your house isn't clean enough, once they're there, Now's not the time to clean.
Exactly.
It'd be before.
Even when you accept a visitor into your house, no matter how it is, back in our minds, you know, we're so busy.
You're probably looking around seeing, oh, this is out of place, that's out of place.
Well, we see it, but the guest doesn't see it at all. And we're thinking, oh, they're going to see the desk that I've missed, or the curtain is just not right, or something, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of being
Yes, Jessica. Which is a reason that to keep a house decent so that you at any time could receive a visitor. You know, I visit people here and there, you know, more times than not, when you walk into a house, they say, well, excuse the mess or excuse this, whatever. And I typically respond, I'm not here to inspect. I didn't come to inspect, I just came to visit. My focus is you, it's not the, yeah. Just because there is a propensity to have that underlying self-consciousness about the condition there. But I think in this context, I mean, what's interesting is Martha was a little disturbed. Did you guys pick that up? She was a little bothered. And what was she bothered about?
Well, one, her sister wasn't helping her, but also Jesus was okay with her sister.
Well, that would come later. First, initially, she makes the request. She was mad. She was just mad in heart. And she was so mad, she said to Jesus, bid her that she come help me. You, Jesus, she ain't listening to me. Now, do you think she called out to Mary at any point before that?
I don't think
so. I do. If she got emboldened enough to say, Jesus, tell her to help me, I guarantee you from the other room, Mary! Women have that real keen ability to have this shrillness to their voice. Mary, get in there, right? And no matter where anybody's at in the house, they're expected to hear it, right? And so she probably yelled out with that voice, and Mary didn't come. Mary, she didn't budge. She is disrespecting her sister now. She knows she needs help, and she's just sitting there talking to Jesus. Yes.
Or another female superpower. She stayed in there and stewed and stewed and stewed.
Yes.
And just assumed that Mary should know.
That's right. That I need help.
And she finally yelled up.
That's true. That could have been the posture. The shrillness might not have come. She might have just been upset, stewing over the fact that Mary should know I need help right now.
She loved me, she'd know.
That's right. Pull the old love card. If she really loved me, she'd be in here right now, and we can get this done faster than we both could sit there. If only Rachel was in here to hear this. Just kidding. She probably can, yeah. So it got to the point that Martha said, that's it. I'm gonna invoke the Jesus card here, and I'm going to pull the word of God out, and I'm going to get Jesus on my side. I want to use this to help them. Because Jesus is the word, right?
Right.
The Bible says, you should be in here helping me right now, right? And then the fight is on. But the Bible says, right, I need to also have my quiet time with Jesus. Right? Yes, Hannah.
I just thought what Mary was doing, like, because as women we look at, like, Proverbs 31, we look at these different passages of what women are supposed to do. Martha was doing those things she was supposed to do.
That's right. It wasn't that she was doing wrong.
She wasn't doing anything wrong. Yep. She was doing everything. She was doing all the right things, and they were out of order. Her
just at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Right.
That's awesome. That's what's great about this passage. Yeah, nothing she was doing was sinful. Right? It was just out of order. It was just at the wrong time. Right? And so it just shows us the importance here of knowing what time it is to sit and spend that time with the Lord. Right? And I love how Jesus responded and said, I'm not taking this time away from her. Mary hath chose the best part, the better part. Right? And I'm not taking it from her. Amen. I wonder how Martha responded to that. We don't know. I wonder how she responded. Now, if she was humbled, if she was typically a humbled, we don't see anything about Martha's life that would say she wasn't a godly woman. I mean, she did seem to be a godly woman. So I would hope to think that when Jesus spoke, that it calmed her down, right? If you're full of pride and you hear a rebuke like that, what do? You get mad, you get argumentative, you blame shift. But if you're humbled, what do? You're right. I want to go sit down. I guess I don't care about dinner. I guess you're not really hungry. I guess you're not whatever, right? I think it's time to sit. Yes.
It's weird how, you know, you can get so busy with things in the world and stuff, and it makes you, like, anxious and blah.
Yeah.
But then when you're reading the Bible, it's a total calm state. And, you know.
Now, the challenge for Martha would be, we don't know the rest of the story because it doesn't give us, but if Martha did come and sit with Mary and Jesus then was speaking, the challenge for Martha then would be what? You had to concentrate That's what this is about.
Right.
Concentrate. See, because what we do is we think we check the box because I read my Bible. But if you weren't constant, if you weren't focused, you didn't check any box. That whole activity was unprofitable. Does that make sense? You just went through the motions, but you didn't gain anything from it. Same thing's true of church, right? You're already here. So you might as well just focus on the Word of God, right? Some people go to church faithfully, but they never really go to church because they're not really engaged. They're not able to have those good conversations with others, those encouraging times, and sit down and actually, as the Word of God's being brought forth, to think through that. As songs are being sung, right? The light of the world is Jesus, thinking through there and just going through and letting God use that song to help you, right? But if we're just singing to sing and we're not really concentrating on that, thinking through, then we've wasted our time, right? And if we're in a situation where we are reading our Bibles, we're studying, and we're not able to concentrate, we're wasting time. And we're actually taking longer than... The reality is, if we would just... Listen, our lives are made up of things, hopefully, as Christians, that God wants in our lives. And if what we have to do is God ordained, then God also has given the time for us to do those things. But we oftentimes aren't the best at anything because we can't focus on the task at hand, right? That whole first things first, second things never thing, where what I'm doing right now is the most important thing. Nothing else matters. So how can you say that? I have to, because that's what God's Word actually teaches, is that where I'm at, what I'm doing, that gets my attention. I've told this story before, but being an auto parts store, and you're trying to work with this guy to get a part, and somebody calls on the phone. And he says, hang on just a minute while I help this person. I hate that, because I'm like, wait, whoa. This person's sitting in their home, they called you, and you're going to put me on hold, and I'm standing in front of you. Respect my time more than theirs, because they didn't drive anywhere, right? It's the whole thing. Someone walks in the room, love them enough to stop what you're doing and look at them. Say, oh, hi. Find out what they are doing. Greet them. Say, well, I'm busy. Okay, Martha. You're saying that what you're doing is more important than them, and I guarantee you it's not. You see what I'm saying? And that's what we were taught here. Same thing's true of the Word of God. I got the Word of God open in front of me, and all these things are happening, and we say, sorry, God, I'm gonna ignore you for a minute. No, don't do that. Concentrate there. Put everything else off. I need to better learn. Don't just put my phone on vibrate. I need to put that thing on airplane mode or something, amen? And so then once I come back to it, then I can concentrate on that. But we all deal with these things. Concentration is huge. Let's just read through these because we don't have a lot of time. On page number 77, and you could read completely through here, but we'll read the headings there. He says this, a quiet, non-distracting place is necessary. Amen? To study your Bible properly, read your Bible, you need to be in a quiet area, right? It's a quiet time. And whatever that is, he even talks in here about going in his car and going to a parking lot so he can get some quiet, whatever it takes, amen? Remove things from your Bible study area that are distracting, and you know what those things are. Page number 78, turn off cell phone notifications. I need to learn that one, amen? Ask the Lord to help you to keep your mind on his word. We know the enemy wants to distract us. Ask the Lord to help us. If you are particularly worried about some matter, cast it upon the Lord. As you get started, Lord, you know I'm really bothered about this, whatever. I'm going to give this to you so that I don't have to think about it. You can take care of this for me. And just get used to doing that. If other projects come to mind, write them down. And that way you can work on it later, but don't let it continually be on your mind. Have pen ready as you read. Because sometimes as we read, we're that's good. Well, write, just mark whatever so you can go back later and study it if you're just reading. Read with focused attention. I'm tuning in here. If your mind drifts, go back and read the passage again. I've done that. I've read a whole chapter or two, then go back. Oh my, I've been thinking about something else. I've read it, but I haven't read it. I got to go back, all right? Try not to read the Bible when you are tired. It's a great tool to fall asleep to, amen? But we don't always want to do that, amen? put the Bible reading first before you do anything else in the day. It's good to do seek him early, the Bible says. Sometimes it is helpful to read the Bible out loud, right? So that helps. And by the way, that gets your ears and everything else. And if we can get more senses involved, you can better concentrate. A larger print Bible can help you. Amen. Be persistent. Don't stop because you're overwhelmed. Test your comprehension by reading passage and have a friend basically to ask some questions about what was just there. That's a great way. And if you're reading with somebody else, you could do that back and forth, and that will be a help. And so anyway, he just gives a lot of suggestions here. I know there's more suggestions we could probably come up with, but just know that based on what we read there with Mary and Martha, just because you're doing something that needs to be done, that is important, that maybe even God has set you out to do, just know that there still needs to be an order to it. And we need to have time where we just read our Bible, study our Bible, meditate upon the Word of God without distraction. 1 Corinthians 7 uses that phrase, actually, attending upon the Lord without distraction. And so we just want to get to where we can do that. And guys are probably better at it because we, just by nature, we can compartmentalize better. And I know you ladies think that's a problem. And it can be, but it's a blessing too, right? Where we could just have this little box here. Okay, I'm in this box now. And that's good. But you ladies that don't have that ability, you're going to have to do some other things to make up for that so you can, in a sense, just be in that box for that time, right? Because it's so important. And God gave us that example with Mary and Martha for that reason. Amen. All right. Well, read through that, and that'll help you. And then we'll come back next week. We're going to try to finish out this thing pretty soon, but starting next week with number 11, paying attention to details. Oh, I love it. We'll have a fun time with that one. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. Thank you for this time together. I pray that this morning has been an encouragement to each of us. We're so busy. This time of year especially, Lord, we have so many things to do. Get ready for a holiday, this or that, or just wrapping up the year. And we just have a lot going on. But God, might we not cut you out because we're so busy, but might we carve out that little spot of time that we can give you that first spot, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So then, God, that you can be in our lives to us in every other area, the things that you need to be, so we will be productive and profitable across the board. God, thank you for this time. Take and use this teaching to be a help in each of our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.